Our text today is from Matthew 17, 8. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die." And of course, there are many kinds of dying. And as Christians, we know that Jesus and Jesus alone has saved us from eternal death. But the truth remains that the essence of discipleship, it leads us into a certain kind of death where we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus. But even as we walk along this road of following Jesus, we find that it's too hard for us. And so we must ever and always, day in and day out, rely on that promise that Jesus alone will bring us through unto the end. From our gospel reading today, the Transfiguration gives us this promise of Jesus. You see, Jesus, he had already called his disciples to follow him. And kind of like us, the disciples were slow to understand. They struggled to grasp who Jesus really is and what he was up to. And we can see this in Peter. Right before the Transfiguration, Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ. And this is a good thing. But immediately after that, Jesus foretells his death and his resurrection, and Peter rebukes Jesus, trying to hinder him from going to the cross and accomplishing his mission. And so then Jesus says, "Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And so Jesus takes Peter and James and John up that high mountain. And Jesus is transfigured before them. Right, you know what that means? That his face, it shines like the sun. And Jesus' clothing, I don't care what color it was, his clothing at that moment is absolutely like light. As if this light coming through his body is just penetrating the fabric so that all you can see is light. And there you see Moses and Elijah, and they're talking with Jesus, these prophets of the past, talking with the Lord of heaven and earth who gives them a future in glory. And then, uninvited, Peter interrupts this conversation that the three were having. And so God the Father's voice booms from out of a bright cloud, and he says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Terrified, the disciples fall on their faces, curled in upon themselves. But then Jesus speaks. He lays his hand on them, and when the disciples lift up their dazzling eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And through his word, God lowers their eyes, and then he lifts them up. And in this way, we can see what a soul on the path of salvation looks like. God speaks his law, and his law lowers our eyes. It constrains us to look chiefly at ourselves. It drives us to compare our own corrupted, sinful nature with the holiness of God. To compare our guilt with the righteousness of God. But afterwards, the Holy Spirit, through the gospel, he lifts up the eyes of our understanding to Jesus only. Right? There's a lot of things that we could look at. But it's a beautiful thing when a believing soul looks in the Word for Jesus only. It's a beautiful thing when a faithful person in prayer fixes his eyes on Jesus only. When we don't look around at other things, when we don't look about ourselves to lay hold of our own scattered thoughts or our faltering intentions and motivations. When we don't look behind ourselves and look at Satan, who threatens us with the thought that our prayers are in vain or that God does not love us. Or when we look inward upon ourselves and when we see our laziness or our lack of piety and devotion. But it's a beautiful thing when these souls look up to Jesus, who sits at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us. And now, I don't know about you, but I wish I was better at following Christ. I wish I was better at being faithful and obedient. Because I'm not good at it. And that really bothers me. And that's why it's such a blessing to have a pastor like Pastor Bakey, who you can go and tell these things to and to receive absolution. But you know, especially when I was a chaplain, you know, I had a lot of conversations with other non-Lutherans, the other Protestant Christians, and a lot of their discussions, a lot of their faith focused mainly on being obedient. And obedience is a really good thing, don't hear me wrong. But we have to be careful because God's law will never make us righteous. Right? The conscience and our own anxiety, our own sinful hearts, and all slaves of the law, they call us to walk on this road of being obedient to the very end so that we can find peace with God. But the way of obedience has no end. It's a road that goes on forever and ever, and every step of the way brings severer demands and ever-growing debt. And if you seek peace on that road, you will not find peace, but only a debt of 10,000 talents instead. But now Christ is the end of the law. Right? The road ends at Jesus' feet. Right? And here, his righteousness is offered to everyone who believes. Right? And that's the goal. Right? It's to that place, to Jesus only, that God wants and wanted to drive you with his law and with his demands of obedience. That's where he wants to take you with all of your unrest and all the anguish in your soul. To Jesus and Jesus only, who gives you peace. Jesus only is the foundation of our faith. We see nothing else. We believe in nothing else. Build our hope on nothing else. And when the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see our corruption, to see our condemnation and our sin, then the gospel comes to give us faith. And only through the gospel do we come to faith, for the gospel deals with Jesus and Jesus only. You know, a lot of people like to share their own personal testimonies and stories about how God has worked in their life, accounts of their own personal commitment and how they at times surrendered their life to Jesus and when I let go and let God. And our attention is drawn to our experiences, but then sometimes it's drawn away from the testimony of God, who speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen. Listen to him." Psalm 119:99 says, "Your testimonies are my meditation." Right? And God's testimony to us is that he also will look at nobody but Jesus only. Because God could judge the world by looking at our life. He could judge the world by looking at your sins and your lack of love and trust. But God says that he doesn't look at the believer at all. That God doesn't see your corruption and your sin. God will not even look at your good works. But God looks at Jesus only. That when you look at yourself and you see that your sin always remains with you, but yet when you look to the cross and the empty tomb, you see that it's always atoned for in Jesus. And that perfect righteousness, that perfect identity and right relationship that you have with God, that perfect righteousness which once and for all and immediately is reckoned to you and is yours in your justification, it will be worked in you little by little in your sanctification. And this will be finished only at the last day when Jesus returns. Now, if you pick up a book and you read the commentaries on this transfiguration account, they've got a lot to say about this passage, and they bring in a whole bunch of connections to other Bible passages, and it's a fascinating read. But I want to say it this way, that this text is pretty simple, and that the transfiguration of Jesus, it's about Jesus. It's not about Peter and James and John. It's not about Moses and Elijah. It's not about you and me. It's about Jesus. He is the God of Israel. He is the Son of Man from the book of Daniel, the Son of God the Father, and he will take that lowly road, that strange and awful and terrible road of suffering and dying upon the cross. Yet in it all, the glory of God is at work, saving you from your sin. By Peter and James and John standing on that mountain with Jesus, they got a little sneak peek. They got a little preview of the glory that is yet to come. The transfiguration was God's promise and his reassurance that the darkness of the grave could not defeat the light of life and the resurrection. And they needed that light because the road was about to get very dark. But there they are, standing on that mountain with Jesus. And they remember his miracles. They remember him healing the sick and feeding the 5,000 and walking on water. And now on that mountain, they see his glory shining as bright as the sun. Filled with terror and awe and wonder and beauty. But then it goes back to normal. The glory hides itself, and all they can see is that man that they know is Jesus. His face is normal, his clothes are normal, it's all back to normal. And then they walk down the road off of the mountain, and Jesus leads them on the road to Jerusalem. Will they remember that his clothes shined white with light in the near future when his clothes get stained red with blood? Will they remember this glorious light when they walk on the road toward dark Gethsemane? When all that they have to hold on to is the normal, plain Jane, ordinary words of Jesus, who promised that the Son of Man will be raised from the dead? Will they cling to the word of Jesus alone? So too for us. Let us ever walk with Jesus and with patience bear our cross. Joy will follow all our sadness, and where he is, there is no loss. By the ordinary waters of your baptism, through his word, Jesus has put you on this road. This is a hard road. There will be sin and sadness the whole way. And when we actually want to do what is right, we find that evil lies close at hand. Because it's hard to be a good, self-sacrificing husband or wife or parent. It's hard to be a good neighbor or a good employee. It's hard to be a good person. And it's even hard to trust that we are people who are loved. Sometimes we can feel so worthless in and of ourselves, like we don't matter, like we're stuck in the darkness and there's no light in our life. But take heart and do not be afraid. Lift up your eyes and see the glory of God here with you today, in, with, and under the ordinary bread and wine of communion. Jesus has saved you from the darkness of sin, death, and the devil. And he will return on the last day, and sin and sadness will be wiped away forever. And you will live in the light of the fullness of his glory. And this Jesus, he can and he will sustain you as you deny yourself and take up your cross and continue to follow him. So I opened with Bonhoeffer, and I'll close with the words of Bonhoeffer. To deny oneself is to be aware only of Christ and no more of self. To see only him who goes before and no more the road which is too hard for us. Once more, all that self-denial can say is, he leads the way. Keep close to him. Jesus only. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.